Okay, I want to tell you a little bit about my first job. Can you remember your first job that you got?
Yes.
All right, I'll tell you that, and then we are going to read a parable. So if you have your Bible and you want to get set ready, so before we go, it is Matthew chapter 20 and verses 1 to 16. And for those who have Bibles, if you feel you're able to help me to read this when we come to it in a minute, that would be splendid. So it's Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. So if you hang fire to that, let me tell you about my first job that I got. And I got my first job during the school holidays, right? In the village where I lived in Guyana, South America. I was age 12. And here is how it worked. All the people who were seeking employment in the village would go to this factory. There were several of these factories. At about 7 a.m., and they would stand in a group at a particular place. And the manager, all the regulars were already at their place, but this group was seeking employment, and the manager would look at everybody and select additional people that he wanted for that day. There were no interviews, you know. Great! You just stood there in this group, and he picked you out. And the criteria appeared to have been the young and the strong, fit and healthy. And if you were not selected on that day, like I wasn't for some time, I went home. And then I could return the next day at about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning and try again. And after several attempts, the manager, who was also the owner of that factory, eventually selected me for a 2 weeks period to help another regular staff repair some fence, etc., etc. All right? So that was my first job, and that's how it happened. There is a reason for telling you that, because it's related to what we're going to talk about. So, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16, this is usually entitled The Laborers in the Vineyard. That's God's word, and we give him thanks for it. Now, this is usually titled The Laborers in the Vineyard, right? That's probably the title you have, I don't know, on your Bible. But for the purpose of this sermon, I want to call it Our Response to Grace. Amazing grace, Ronnie. Yeah?
Yes.
And Jesus the Nazarene, saving a condemned sinner, unclean such as me. Our response to grace. So it is said that this is one of the most difficult parables to interpret. For example, you try to figure out how one person worked for 12 hours and another 1 hour doing the same job, and they all got the same pay. So what I'm going to do is try to represent what appears to be some of the key things in this parable. And some of those things are comparing ourselves to others, jealousy, a sense of superiority, and then God's mercy and grace. So let's start. It was a custom for people who didn't have jobs to go out and stand in a certain place and waited for somebody to come along and hire them. That was the custom, right? In the parable, some got hired early in the morning. They were the first group. Then some got hired at 9 a.m., some at 12 noon, some at 3 p.m., And then the last group on the 11th hour, 5 p.m. It is possible that the times at which they got hired were influenced by their physical capability. Have you ever thought of this? No. Why did they get hired at different times of the day? Perhaps the strongest and the youngest, the healthiest, at least how they looked, got hired first, and then it went downhill after that, all right? Yes. Think about it. Similar to the situation that I was in. Pick the youngest, the healthiest, the strongest first. And then when I'm done with all of them and there is no more of them, I could give you a job. The disabled, the elderly. Think of it. The weakest. Here is the thing. For all of these people, work was not a luxury or something to avoid. Work was essential for survival. They needed to get a day's pay to survive. So at the 11th hour, 5 p.m., 1 hour before quitting time, the owner went out and found that some were still standing around. And he said to them in the King James, "Why do you stand here idle?" Or in one of the versions it says, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" And what they said? "Because no one has hired us." Why do you stand here idle all day? Think about it. You know, it is easy to form a negative view of this group that perhaps they didn't want to work and they were just idle doing nothing. And I've heard people say that. But I want to offer you a different view. I think that they are to be commended. You know why? For not giving up. Yes. They stood there all day instead of doing like what I did, went home and came back the next day. Yeah. They stood there all day. And I think they are to be commended for not giving up, for their perseverance. And I believe that the one thing that God is waiting for some of us to do is do not give up. You might be surprised what God can do for you, even in the 11th hour, if you will not give up. So there were five groups hired during the day, but only the first group was told the amount they would be paid, which was how much? One denarius. Right. Now I did a whole lot of research what one denarius is equivalent to today, and the answers I got varied from the reasonable to the ridiculous. Right? So it appears on balance that one denarius was typical of one day's pay in the agriculture sector. The other groups, only the first group was told, "I'll give you one denarius, a day's wage." The other groups were told, "I will give you whatever is just, whatever is right. That's what I'll give to you." So, At the end of the day, it's money time, payment time. And a radical and outrageous thing happened, at least from the standpoint of the world and normal economics and working terms and conditions. Those who worked 12 hours got the same pay as those who worked 1 hour doing the same thing. What do you think of that? Well, it seems that this parable was partly based, at least this point, on a true first century practice. Josephus, you probably read about him, right? The first century historian. He tells us that after the completion of the temple in Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the temple, he said that 18,000 people became unemployed. So to meet their needs and to make sure that the temple's treasury was never so full of money that it would draw attention of the Romans, it became customary for the temple to hire workers to do minimal work, some of them for different hours, some of them for a little bit of work, some of them for a lot of work, but they all got money, sometimes the same pay, a day's wage, just to get rid of money from the temple so that they could, their families could be fed, and there wouldn't be money for the Romans to come and take it. So there was a real, actual practice of that. So here's the thing. The group that got hired the earliest in the day, they started to grumble. And they complained to the owner. How come the others got the same pay, did the same work, for working only 1 hour in comparison to our 12 hours, slugging our guts out 12 hours and they get the same pay as us. Just think how you would feel about that. The unions would be all over you. The tribunal, employment tribunal would be extremely busy. Here's the thing. When it comes to blessings from the Almighty to other people, I'm going to ask you a question now. When it comes to blessings from the Almighty to other people, is it any of our business? Is it any of our business to compare ourselves with other people and to be jealous? Why are they getting what I am believing the Lord to give me? I am believing the Lord to bless me in this way. I'm not getting it. They are getting it. And they are not even as spiritual as I am. Let's bring this down to a practical level. So you are a great Christian, right? You work in a place, and you are the only believer there. And now there is a big promotion job going. And you are convinced this job is for you. And by the way, I could be talking about myself here, right? Yeah. So you get all the Christian brothers and sisters to agree to join you in prayer and to claim this job for yourself in the name of God. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, you don't have to be a job, you be something else. And then guess what happened? The most wretched sinner in the place got the job. Instead of you, the great Christian. I wonder why God sometimes let things like that happen. I thought of this, and it seems that God probably sometimes let things like this happen to check out our attitudes. Because some Christians don't even know about some of the things that are stuck on their inside. So like, are you ever surprised at some of the things that you say and do? Ever heard people said, really good Christians? I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I felt like that. And the Bible is full of examples. Yes. Saul was jealous when God blessed David, and jealousy ended up killing Saul. John the Baptist's disciples, they were jealous of Jesus' disciples. Let me refer you to John chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And I quote, they, that's John's disciples, came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of Jordan, the one you testified about, that's Jesus, right? Look, he is baptizing, and everyone from our side is going over to his side. You know what that is? Comparison and jealousy. And to this, John the Baptist replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. Look, I think you, and when I say you, I'm speaking generally, would have to be one super duper Christian if you could say that you never feel a certain way when somebody who you think is not nearly as spiritual as you are get blessed more than you. And this is not only about individuals, it is about whole churches also. For example, I'm sorry if this is feeling a little bit rough right now, right? Why are we doing all we can by the grace of God, and our church has a few, and another church has scores and hundreds of people? You ever wonder that? That can tear you down, you know. But let me tell you this. If you have to run this church, and now I'm talking about you. If you have to run this church for the rest of your life with a few people, and another church has a ministry with scores and hundreds of people, or even a worldwide ministry, let me tell you this, it doesn't matter. Because everything that we do by the grace and mercy of God. This is your assignment, and that is theirs. Let us all recognize what he has called and assigned to each of us, and do it without trying to do somebody else's assignment. So the owner reminded the first group who are now complaining that the agreement was, what? One denarius. You got what I told you I would give you. So what's your problem? And further, in relation to the other group, what I give them is none of your business. Verse 15. And he's still at them this first group. Am I not permitted to do what I want to do with what is mine? I promise to give them, that's the other groups now, right? Including the group that worked only 1 hour. These guys are coming out real good, you know. The ones who got in there at the 11th hour. You see, it pays to wait sometimes. He said, I promise to give them whatever is right. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever is right. Whatever is right. You see, this whole thing is not about fairness and employment laws and so on. This is about the grace of God. And some people love grace when it is amazing and when it is all in their favor. You know, again, we have lots of examples in the Bible. For example, the Pharisees were angry with Jesus because he would have fellowship with, he would entertain, and he would receive, guess who? Sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, and the rest. Sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, having equal status as us, the religious insiders, the darlings of God, who believe that they should receive special privileges. And you know, it wasn't only the Pharisees. Christ's disciples were also at it. Let me show you. It is believed that this parable that was read, that Ken and George read, the laborers in the vineyard, was in response to what happened in the previous chapter of Matthew's gospel. So this parable is in Matthew 20, but if we look at Matthew 19, and let me read it for you, Matthew 19 verses 16 to 22, there we have the story of the rich young ruler. You remember him? Yeah. And he came to Jesus and asked what? What must I do to have what? Eternal life. Yeah. Well, he started off on the wrong foot to start with. It's of course the wrong question. You see where this is going now? What must I do? Jesus decided to deal with him at his level. Jesus said, if you think salvation can be earned, let's try this. He said, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother. And the young man said, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. And when Jesus heard this, Jesus said, you know what? You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Well, we know he didn't take up that offer, right? But Peter heard what happened. He was present there. This is chapter 19. The parable we are talking about is in 20. Peter said in Matthew 19, just after that, 19:27, look what Peter said, having heard that, hey, sell everything, come follow me, great will be your reward in heaven. Peter is on it now. 19, verse 27. Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What will there be for us? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad there will be rewards in heaven. Is anybody else like me? I'm sure glad there will be rewards in heaven. The Bible says whatever you do in secret will be rewarded in the open. But that's not what this parable is about. You see, there is a system in the world that says, do this and you get something, right? That's the system in the world. We teach it to our children, don't we? We learn it in schools, and we even teach it to our dogs. Do what is right and you get a treat. You see, we have grown up with it. We teach it to our children, to the animals. The world says, why is it more blessed to give than to receive? How can you, Christian people, think that the first shall be last and the last shall be first? It doesn't make sense. And do you know how crazy it sounds, you people? For someone to work 1 hour before quitting time and to get the same pay as the person who worked a full day doing the same job. But you see, God operates on a different system. A system that appears to be radical and outrageous. A system that looks like it's turned the world upside down, but in reality, it is really the right side up. But the world doesn't know this. A different system, it is called grace. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. How many disciples did Jesus pick? 12 of them, right? And you know how he picked them? Jesus prayed all night. It was no accident. He prayed before he picked them. And in my research for this sermon, I came across a letter about this. And I want to read it for you. And I've got this site here, bible.org/illustration/Jesus-Jesus. It's on Google, right? And it's a letter to Jesus from the Jordan Management Consulting Firm in Jerusalem, right? And it reads, would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, good. Dear sir, thank you so much for submitting the resume of the 12 men you picked. All of them have now taken our battery of tests, and they have had personal interviews with our psychologist. Our findings. Here goes. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper.
Yeah.
Andrew has absolutely no leadership qualities. The two brothers, James and John, place personal interest above loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would undermine morale of the team. It is our duty to tell you that Matthew, a tax collector, had been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. Absolutely. James and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and they both registered a high score on the manic depressive scale. There is, however, one candidate who shows great potential. He's a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. The only one in the 12 we can recommend is Judas Iscariot. Remember the story that gave rise to this parable, the rich young ruler. Jesus said, you lack one thing. There is always one thing that we lack. I have become comfortable knowing that every day I'm going to fail. I always wanted everything to be perfect. And there was a time I used to be mad at myself, sometimes with others, when the perfection plan didn't work. My plan for holiness, to be perfect, might last as long or until I see another human being. Or until I step out of the bed and onto the floor. How many people are truly spiritual and holy when they are alone? You see, it is the presence of people that spoil it. And guess what? People, they're everywhere. And have you ever noticed that sometimes God surrounds you with people who annoy you the most? You run away from one, and then you ended up with two. There is only one way we're going to heaven. By the grace and mercy of God in Christ. Not because of anything we do or can do. You know, when you read some of the scriptures, it makes your heart sink and ask, is there any hope? Because the Bible says things like, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it also says, all your righteousness are like filthy rags. And it also says that not one of us is righteous. No, not one. So is there any hope? Yes, there is. Grace in Christ Jesus. You see, grace looks beyond our productivity. It looks beyond economic rules. It looks beyond our appearance, our dress, our race, or ethnicity. It looks beyond our accomplishments or our failures. Grace recognizes that there is more to you and who you are than what you have done or left undone. An old proverb says, when we get what we deserve, that is justice. When we don't get what we deserve, that is mercy. When we get what we don't deserve, that is grace. There is a saying, everything in Christianity is free. Grace. But the annual subscription is everything that you got. So, whether you are a 12-hour Christian or a 1-hour Christian, whether you've been a Christian for 12 hours or 1 hour, let me tell you this. You have received the mercy and grace of God, right? So, I titled this sermon, Our Response to Grace. So, we have all received God's mercy and grace. Our response to grace. How are you going to respond to such mercy and grace? Whether you are 12 hours or 1 hour. So, may I ask you this question and leave them with you. Are you getting up every day of your life and doing as much as you can to advance the kingdom of Christ? Are you being as big a blessing every day as you can to other people? He has given us so much, so much. How could we possibly want anything other than to love and serve Him? Our response to grace.